Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, the topic that we're going to put up on the lift, as we say in shop talk from the world of wheels, is the volatile topic of fuels. And I know that was a pun, but you've probably heard about the E15 debacle of ethanol coming into fuels, and that's a volatile topic. So it's more than a pun. It's a true statement that fuel is volatile always. It should be. And then you add in the factor of ethanol, corn, and the crisis that we might have with the fuels of the future. What is it going to be for the manufacturers, the production and distribution of fuels, and of course for ultimately the motorists, that's you, the listeners, the consumers, who have to understand what's coming up ahead. And we have Steve Mazur from the Automobile Club of Southern California to join us. And then we'll also be being rejoined by Jim Wangers talking about turbochargers for a moment. We'll give you a couple of tips on those as well. Let's first go out to a break from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll talk about E15 and where ethanol may come into the future in California with Steve Mazur from the Automobile Club of Southern California. Stay with us.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, whether you're a passionate car buff or a daily commuter who simply seeks the best in value and integrity, there's a name in Santa Barbara that fits both profiles. Tri-County Auto Glass. Today's auto glass installers all have to service more sophisticated and precise automobiles than just a decade ago. And while the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment, what we all know is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of customer service, which is why Tri-County Glass customers range from Concord Elegance level show car owners to everyday family sedan and pickup truck owners. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit and 30 years in Santa Barbara. While a positive word of mouth reputation may bring you in, courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara. Call them or stop in for a quote on a window repair or replacement today. 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
I'm Scott Budo, owner, manager, and a certified auto glass technician. At Tri-County Auto Glass, we are about quality, safety, and value.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways, plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
Change your life in a big way.
Well, having a mentor saved me. I did not have a father in the home, and my mother was ill most of the time. And Brent really is a great listener, and he really provided that extra leadership that I needed to really grow and become the person that I became. He's a great big brother.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
So you're one of those lucky car enthusiasts who has the privilege of owning a rare, vintage, antique, or maybe one of those British specialty cars, the kind that makes heads turn and brings compliments at stoplights. Let's say a Model A Ford, a 29 Buick, or one of those stunning Packards from the 1930s. But one of the challenges of these rare vehicles is finding an auto professional who can wake up that historic machine so the engine will sing that special tune, or have headlights that both glow equally. Maybe just an old-fashioned tune-up the way it used to be, or even servicing that other ancient device, a carburetor. Sounds like a long time ago? Not at East West Motors, where servicing, repairing, and reviving mechanical gems is a daily craft. Owned and operated by a veteran Concours d'Elegance judge who knows what 100-point quality looks like. At East West Motors, you experience what 100-point collector car service feels like. Call 965-7003. That's 965-7003. It's the best shop this side of Radiator Springs.
My name is Roy Miller, and I approve of this message.
Auto Parts, may I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake under your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stocked the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service. Along with a national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Unander. Our team is here to be your solution.
Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid, low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DI&I spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath, open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine. And welcome back. You are tuned into the Car Guy Show. I'm Steve Ford, your host. And joining me straight ahead is Steve Mazur from the Automobile Club of Southern California, talking about ethanol in fuels. So we go over to Steve Mazur, Chief Automotive Engineer at the Automobile Club of Southern California, and he served as manager of the club's Automotive Research Center in Diamond Bar, California, since 1985 with a strong background. He was actually at JPL in, is that Pasadena, Steve? And welcome to the Car Guy Show, by the way.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, yes, JPL is in Pasadena, and they used to have a state-of-the-art automotive test laboratory.
So forgive me for pausing while I both introduce you to the audience and also get amused to think, here's an automotive person who truly did work in what is an environment of that cliche term, rocket scientists, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And you were, and earlier you worked for a spell at Ford Motor Company in a perfect area for what we're going to be talking about. Steve Mazur was a fuel system development engineer at Ford Motor Company before he came back to California, where he comes from, as born and raised here, right, Steve?
Born at Kaiser in Los Angeles.
Okay, so you were a transplant to Detroit, and then you came back, and after a spell of research and contributing to JPL's projects related to hybrid cars, right? I think the audience should know, as I'm looking at your bio, hybrid cars you were involved with back in 1980 to 85.
Hybrid and full electric, and alcohol fuels.
Wow, 20
all
years.
At the same time.
Absolutely perfect for this topic. 20, 25 years ahead of your time for what's happening in the marketplace. And then later, after having, of course, early on obtained a degree in automotive engineering from UCLA in 1970, and I think the audience can appreciate that all the way from there to today, and also having been chairman of the Southern California section of the Society of Automotive Engineers, you had your hands full and you've ascended to your title of Chief Automotive Engineer at the Automobile Club of Southern California. So we're glad to have you on board and share your credentials with the audience. And what brings me and the audience to you today is a little recap on what has been a buzz in the media over the past few weeks. And I think people have largely learned about this fuel issue called E15, which incorporates ethanol.
15% ethanol and 85% gasoline.
Okay. And I have to tell you, if it were 85% ethanol, I think everybody's hair on their neck would stand up knowing, are we going that fast to corn as a fuel source? And there's a lot of drama that's been wrapped around the topic of ethanol over the past 10, 20 years in general. Among other things, the fact that people have probably largely heard the cost of produce is affected by us leaning on corn and other sources of fuel that we haven't relied on before. So that supply and demand factor comes in. Please, Steve Mazur, give us a background on what you want us to understand. Since this E15 debacle developed, what would you like our audience to understand? Where are we going with it, and how does it affect California in the future?
Well, the federal government, the U.S. EPA, has approved this retail sale of what's called E15, gasoline mixed with 15% ethanol.
Right.
For 2001 and newer cars. So far, the California Air Resources Board, which controls the cleaner burning gasoline in California, has not allowed its use in California, but there's a lot of pressure to use more ethanol in our gas to meet the renewable fuel standard that was set by Congress a few years ago. The idea is that EPA believes that these newer cars will not be harmed and may even have slightly lower emissions.
Because of the ethanol.
Using E15.
Okay. Now, let me pause for a moment and go back. You mentioned 2001 vehicles, and I must say that doesn't sound new to me. It sounds newer. We're in 2013. But just making that observation is just a side note. More importantly, perhaps, I think I should observe that California, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, having worked as a mechanic early on in my career and actually as a smog technician, tune-up and smog and electrical, that was the area that I enjoyed and worked in. And I remember that largely the auto manufacturers and every other state in the nation looked to California to be the pioneer and the leader, usually to adopt new approaches to emission control because, of course, our star site, I guess we call it the cliche poster child, Los Angeles Basin, for our smog challenge. California was at the front end. Now California is resisting this. How do you reconcile that? It's a change for California.
Well, the issue with E15 is that, well, EPA believes that they're doing it for three reasons. One, to meet the renewable fuel standard that's in law.
Right.
Two, to try and supplant some of the petroleum that we have to import, to try and move us towards fuel independence.
Sustainability.
And third is for the fact that it might reduce emissions.
Okay.
Well, in our Automotive Research Center, in the club's Automotive Research Center, we ran our own test sequence and comparing E15 to the fuel that we have in California now and in most of the nation, which has 10% ethanol already in it.
Right.
So it's increasing from 10 to 15.
Right.
What we found was they measured really three pollutants. Two went down. The third, oxides of nitrogen or NOx, actually went up.
Which is one of the most alarming aspects of emissions anyway, fair to say?
Right. All vehicles still pass.
Right.
But they changed their relationship within the standards.
Right.
And the increase in NOx emissions is particularly problematic in some areas where the only problem they have is too much NOx.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the Houston-Galveston area in Texas, which has some of the dirtiest air in the country. And their almost entire control strategies to try and reduce NOx emissions.
So they'd be particularly alarmed by this issue.
They would. Yeah. And in California, we've got the cleanest burning gasoline in the world.
Yeah.
We pay more for it.
Right.
But it has been one of the most effective emission control measures ever enacted by anybody.
That's great.
And putting that cleaner burning gasoline on the market was the equivalent to removing 800,000 or more old cars off the road in terms of emission reductions.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is then mess with that.
Right. So California is very protective.
But even though EPA has approved 2001 and newer cars to use that fuel, we and the auto manufacturers are not convinced then it's safe to do so.
And when you say we, it's the Automobile Club of Southern California.
Meaning the AAA, the whole national organization.
Okay.
And the Auto Club of Southern California are not at all convinced.
Tell me, Steve, pardon me, but how did it get so far through legislation without a technical validation to know that it was going to be compatible for the EPA to do a federal mandate?
Well, they ran through some testing, but it's a short-term test, not a long-term test.
Yeah.
And in the short term, it doesn't really hurt anything.
Okay.
But alcohol, ethanol, is corrosive. The more you have, the more corrosive. It also is hygroscopic, meaning that it attracts water,
right,
and you get water into the fuel mix, which makes it even more corrosive.
Right.
And the auto manufacturers, if you read your owner's manual, and in many cases even right under the fuel flap, will say no more than 10% ethanol.
Yeah. And now, by the way, just for the audience, we're talking about this E15 issue, ethanol at going from 10%, which you said is the standard amount of ethanol across the state of California right now in 2013 as we speak. But E15 drives it up an additional 5%. That additional amount of ethanol increases the water absorption, like brake fluid, right? Same kind of a characteristic. And then it's highly corrosive. So I know the term sounds sort of engineering-esque, but you must use the term often inside your world. We talk about O-rings and gaskets and seals and elastomers, as the quote-unquote term might go. And folks would appreciate that wherever there's a pipe or a connector or a seal, where the fuel travels...
A hose.
Where the fuel travels from the gas tank to the engine and in the components that distribute the fuel in the engine, the fuel injectors and so on. This corrosive nature would affect vehicles potentially to cause some major damage. What year is there? Is it 2012? What year could we say the E15 would be compatible, or have you confirmed and established that?
In reality, there is no year.
Okay.
Some 2013 cars, just a few, it'll actually say in your owner's manual, are designed to be compatible with E15.
Okay.
But it's just a few. So many of them will flat out say no more than 10% ethanol. And if you were to use E15 in that car, you would actually risk voiding your warranty.
Okay. Let me, if I may.
Especially if you have fuel system problems down the road.
Absolutely. So folks would have, I think they'd tune in and tune up on this one because it's important financially to know that if you break away from warranty compliance, you'll end up paying for these repairs yourself. So right now, your advice would be what to consumers listening?
Our advice is, unless it specifically says in your owner's manual that E15 is okay to use, don't use it.
Okay.
And we've gotten to the point where AAA has publicly asked the Obama administration to stop the sale of E15 until, A, the research is really done as to its long-term durability on cars that were not originally designed to use it.
Right.
And, B, to find some way better than just putting a label on the pump.
Yeah.
To prevent misfueling.
Now, let me
that's all there is a label.
Yeah.
The nozzle will still fit. You can still put it in any car you want.
So you could make the mistake.
You can make the mistake. It'd be easy.
Now, let me just put the listeners at ease and comfort right now if they're still new to this topic. Again, if I have this right, we don't have E15 in California at this time, and it's not coming in for the foreseeable future, but it could. Am I correct?
That is correct.
We're okay now.
I would think that it probably will, as long as it continues to be considered legal by EPA, that eventually will come into place in California, because California has their own rules called the Low Carbon Fuel Standard,
right,
where they want to reduce the carbon intensity of the fuels that we put in our cars.
But that wouldn't contradict. That would not contradict the resistance to E15 as a current policy.
No, this is that the rules move in two different directions.
Okay.
The Air Resources Board is concerned about E15 changing the emissions characteristics of cars and perhaps damaging them long term.
Right.
But on the other hand, they're also being charged with reducing the amount of carbon in the fuel, and E15 has less carbon.
That sounds like a dual personality.
Exactly. They're being pushed in different directions.
Okay.
It's very similar to diesel fuel.
Right.
Diesel gives you better fuel economy and less CO2 emissions,
right,
less greenhouse gas emissions
soot
than gasoline, but the exhaust
particulate
from diesel fuel has been found to be carcinogenic.
Yep.
So one arm of the legislators and regulators say we really don't want diesel because it's dirtier.
Right.
On the other hand, it is more efficient and
right.
uses and uses less gas.
Yep.
So we want it. So they're ambivalent on that as well.
And you being a fuel systems engineer, I must ask you, the audience might even wonder, you know, first of all, again, I want to confirm for anybody listening, if they haven't caught this specific, E15 is not in California today at this time in 2013. It could come in the future. The main thing we'd want to do, Steve, if I'm correct in informing this audience, is to alert them to understand that E15 is 15% ethanol, 85% gasoline. Currently, we're 10% ethanol, 90% gasoline. That's compatible. That extra 5% is alarming. You can tell it says it on the pump, so I suppose just keep watching the news. That's the negative side of E15. Anything positive about ethanol from your view as a fuel systems engineer by background, Steve?
Yeah, well, ethanol is an octane booster. So by adding additional ethanol to the gasoline, you raise the octane. Although what's being marketed as E15 is still only 87 octane, it means that some of the expensive components that were added to the gasoline prior in order to bring the octane up to 87 don't need to be used because the ethanol already does that. So it can add flexibility as to how the refiners make their gasoline and perhaps even lower the cost of production.
So there's a benefit there to the production side, potentially, of E15.
There's a benefit to the production side. The other is, of course, if we're putting 5% more ethanol into the gasoline, that's 5% less gasoline or less petroleum that we're having to use.
Which
reduces the pressure on us to import more foreign oil.
Is there any other solution besides blocking it as it comes into the state or avoiding it as a consumer? I know this is going to be a stretch, but I know we do things like we modify vehicles to run on bi-fuel, for example. Some vehicles today are sold as a bi-fuel vehicle. They're made to run on either a high amount of ethanol with gasoline or straight gasoline.
Well, there are what they call the flex-fuel vehicles.
Right. So,
which can run on any combination of from zero ethanol up to 85% ethanol.
Okay.
And there are a few stations that sell what's called E85, 85%
right.
ethanol, in California already, and there's quite a few of those in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of vehicles already on the road that could conceivably use up to 85% ethanol.
Which is
called flex fuel vehicles.
Yeah.
Most Chevrolet pickup trucks with V8s over the last few years, just as an example, and there are a number of Ford Escape SUVs that when you buy them, they have that flex fuel capability already built into them.
And it's the type of fuel lines, the type of rubbers that are used, all compatible.
That's correct. And those would work with any combination up to 85%.
Okay.
And those cars tend, actually, to perform better. They get quite a bit less miles per gallon because ethanol contains quite a bit less energy in a gallon.
So fuel efficiency is off.
But they get better performance than on gasoline when they're running on E85.
Well, then we lose efficiency in EPA MPG kind of ratings if we go to E15, but we increase the power output from that given amount of fuel?
That's correct.
If
you maintain the octane the same,
you
have the capability of producing a little bit more power, but there is a small, and it's 1-2%.
Okay.
Is all. Mile per gallon difference between E15 and E10.
Well, that is good information. In summary, today we do not have E15 in California. It's being promoted by the President Obama's administration with the EPA, so it's a federally being pushed and legislated fuel with compliance with the EPA's mandate of switching away from imported oil and moving to sustainability. And, of course, going on corn oil, corn is a source for ethanol, affects the price factor. Do you have any comment on that, or is that outside of your range?
No, the production of ethanol from corn, of course, and the farm lobby is all for it because it gives them a built-in market for their product.
The demand.
Increases the demand for corn.
Yep.
And if you just look at the laws of economics, more demand raises the price.
Right.
But the initial regulations that required, the federal regulations that required increasing volumes of ethanol mixed with the gasoline year after year after year, were really considering something else called cellulosic ethanol production, which is a different method of making ethanol that uses agricultural waste as opposed to corn.
Yeah.
The problem is that the development of that technology is lagging behind what the predictions for its growth were.
So ethanol could
make
be in the
ethanol
future.
That way, yeah. But you can't make it at a marketable scale yet.
The volume wouldn't be there.
No.
No. Well, so ethanol has a place in the future potentially, but the metrics haven't been worked out yet to get it as a national fuel.
You think it's just too soon?
Yeah.
And not enough work has been done to safely use E15 in almost any car at this time.
So we're rushing. And we're rushing maybe a little bit with well-intended desire to get off of fossil fuel and move away from imported oil. But this ethanol issue requires more research and development. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think that is very fair, yeah.
All right. Well, Steve Mazur, a little bit of depth on E15 that people would not perhaps otherwise get in the media. With you, Steve Mazur, with your background as a fuel systems engineer and also in your current capacity as Chief Automotive Engineer at the Automobile Club of Southern California. Thanks for your time today, Steve Mazur.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I did tell you that was a volatile topic, and the pun was intended, but I hope that it's less volatile for you now as you listen to the news and can interpret some of what is going on out there, knowing that E15 is not in California yet, but it may be on the way, so watch the news, and we'll keep you posted right here on the Car Guy Show as well. We're going to go out to a break. When we come back, we'll rejoin Jim Wangers, the godfather of the GTO, to talk about turbochargers and close out with a couple of tips for you to get longevity out of your turbocharged car and not be intimidated by those devices. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Car Guy Show here at KTMS 99.
May I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake under your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stock the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service. Along with a national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town, Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Unander. Our team is here to be your solution.
We are back with you here on News Talk 990 KTMS, The Car Guy Show, with Jim Wanger straight ahead, picking up from a conversation we're having about turbochargers and a couple of suggestions for you to demystify what you can do to get longevity out of your car if it's turbocharged or truck, and keeping you down the road with the best of information.
Fuel injection, electronic ignition, dual overhead cams, all that. The stuff of hot
now,
rod.
There is one very specific point that I think should be brought up, and maybe this is a good time to do it.
Yeah.
I want to zero in on this word turbocharged. It's a very exciting, very romantic, very high performance oriented, but also a very frightening word.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the non-sophisticated consumer. And what's happened today in their absolute need to build four-cylinder engines at the expense of six-cylinder and, God forbid, V8s.
Yeah. Why do you say God forbid V8s?
Well, nobody even wants to think about putting a V8 in a passenger car anymore because they cannot meet their CAFE standards.
Right.
You know, their corporate average fuel economy is literally running the determination of where and what these new cars are going to look like and perform like.
Got it. So what's the thought on turbochargers?
Unfortunately, you see, they have been able to build pretty competitive performance numbers with a relatively small four-cylinder, albeit high-tech and very sophisticated, with their turbocharging
And I think that's, Jim, I think that's fabulous, and I think the public gets it.
They don't.
Why don't you think they get it?
The public is afraid of a turbocharge. They're afraid of superchargers. They're afraid of turbochargers. They're not confident that they're as reliable and dependable. Certainly the manufacturers would not release them for the market if they weren't absolutely confident of their reliability.
So indirectly you're saying, folks, if you're considering a car that has a turbocharger, go enjoy it and don't even worry?
Well, there's going to be some rejection
of those cars yeah.
because the public is just a little bit... Maybe the word apprehensive is
well
more
put.
Appropriate.
Okay. And now, as a technician by background originally, I can remember dealing with people where they're looking at new technology like turbochargers years ago and thinking it was something that was going to be unreliable. And I think what you're saying is that the fact that, turbochargers are almost becoming a mandate in order to get six-cylinder performance out of a four or V8 performance out of a six, that people are seeing that this is becoming a technology that's going mainstream. And yet you say there may be apprehension in the marketplace that slows the adoption of the turbocharged cars.
I think you hit the key word there when you said mainstream.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
The average consumer is a little concerned about the reliability, the dependability, the cost of repair.
Got it.
You know,
well, I think that your point is also that the manufacturers wouldn't put these turbochargers on at this stage of the game if they had any apprehension themselves. So, folks, you should be confident that these turbochargers are pretty refined and that they're here to stay because they are what boosts the performance of these smaller displacement engines to achieve those CAFE high fuel economy levels and give you the performance you need to climb a steep grade while allowing you on the flat land to be able to get very high fuel economy numbers.
I think the most key and most significant word that you used is should be. Yeah. Yes, they should be, but they're not.
They're not what?
The average consumer still has a fairly significant fear of the reliability and the dependability and the need for, the absolute need for, this thing called a turbocharger.
Thanks.
Apprehensive
yeah.
is the word.
Yeah, that's a perfect word. Jim, at some point ahead, I think it'd be neat to get you in on a round table for bouncing some of these ideas around with some others cut from the same fabric of car enthusiast and industry participant and contributor. The godfather of the GTO himself and an automotive industry analyst and consultant, Jim Wangers, it's always been a pleasure to have you in conversation, and your observations are great. Thanks for being on board again.
Steve, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thank
really.
You. Thank you.
Okay, so Jim has that insight. I'll give you a technical couple of things here you might want to know. First of all, if you have a turbocharged car, drive at moderate speeds for the first 5 minutes when the vehicle's cold in the morning and idle for at least 1 minute before turning off the engine after a hard run. And this will help the turbo to cool down properly when you've been under a high heat driving condition and keep up with the regular oil changes and you should be good to go. Turbochargers have become as refined as any other technology on today's vehicles. And what we'll do ahead is we will get together with one of the turbocharger manufacturers or a vehicle manufacturer and go into depth a little bit on superchargers and turbochargers and the steps manufacturers are taking to get maximum power out of small displacement engines. And that brings us to a close of today's show. I want to thank you all for joining us in this segment on the World of Wheels. And this brings us to a close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guy Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS and thecarguy.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.